From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 18th day of September 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Dave Chatterton of the Powerline Group will be here to discuss the situation as it relates to gasoline supplies, propane, and the agricultural energies. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll get an update from the state statisticians about crop progress and harvest in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's turn our attention now to what's happened in Chicago. We're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. Hey, Wayne, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us for the day.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So a couple of things have happened. We knew that the Trump administration might decide to put another $200 billion on in tariffs against China, that is. We know what those were. They were announced quite some time ago. They went through a comment period late yesterday afternoon. He did that. And finally, the Chinese actually responded. Surprisingly enough, there wasn't much of a response, maybe some in Chicago, but certainly not with the Dow and the business community. That surprised me. Did it you?
Yeah, I think that basically along the way we were surprised that it didn't bleed over as it did that way. It did sort of bleed into the afternoon, though. We did set new contract lows in both the corn and the beans and the meal today. So, and did close near the lows of the day as we were trading. So it's not a happy day as far as the grain market's concerned.
Yeah, so the rest of the economy said, oh, well. But of course, agriculture said, wait a second, this is still a big problem and may look forward to maybe even a lengthier problem. Do you think that it went down on the idea that this will be continue to be an extended, and I think at this point we'll have to start calling it a trade war. I've not done that on the air until now, but that this might be an extended trade war and that we could really see some demand destruction for soybeans over time?
Well, that's what's the scary part of all this. We know that Mr. Trump is, the art of the deal is his thing, but it does seem like the Chinese are wanting to extend this on through the midterm elections, and if it goes that far, how long will they be willing to take it? And we'd like to see this settled before that South America gets all their acres of beans planted also that way. You know, Informa come out with their numbers today, and they raised the bean acres from 82.3, or lowered them from 89 to 82.3, but they raised the corns from 89.1 to 93 million acres, you know, thinking that this trade war might go on and last a longer time. And we'll see, increased acres of corn by quite a bit for next year.
And that won't be good news for actually either crop. Lower acreage for soybean would be fine, but that would be on the auspices that demand destruction or I suppose demand destruction will have taken place at that point, and that Brazil, Argentina, and maybe parts of the rest of the world will begin to ramp up what they're raising in oil seeds.
That is the problem. We'd like to get something resolved before then, but they haven't called me for my opinion lately.
So here's the question then. I think farmers will be struggling with this for corn and soybeans both. So as they bring a good corn crop out, for those unpriced bushels, what might they want to do with that? And then for soybeans particularly, because they're only looking at half of the government payment, at least at this point, the 82.5 cents, and maybe the other half in December, but we don't know about that. How do they deal with the soybeans that need to go across the scale because they don't have anything but the ability to take it to town, if they can take it to town?
You know, I guess that is a real problem. I mean, a lot of the guys that don't have to sell right now can say, hey, well, maybe go out and buy a put and sell a call above it out where we've got some carry built in the market and hope that things will be resolved by then. But if you have to sell at these wide basis levels, then it gets real tricky, because if you go to buy a call farther out, there is carry already put in the market and what's going on along that way. So it's very very, very scary as far as that goes, I guess. I am going to say, you know, we might want to buy and stay in more closer calls rather than the deferred calls if we were buying them, and not spend no more than you would on storage if you're going to do something like that.
And what else did we have happen?
You know, the we're looking at the seasonal lows don't generally occur till late September, early October, so it's still a little bit scary that we can go down a little bit more and maybe test, you know, that $8 to $8.10 in the beans. Also, the corn, can we, you know, drop another 10 or 15 cents before they do? You know, we're watching the yields continue to come in tremendously good, Todd, and that doesn't help anything. The crude oil's back near 70, which should give us a little hope on the ethanol side, but then we saw three ethanol plants closed, two in Iowa and one in Minnesota there with Green Plains. So, and the African swine fever, that's not helped the meal market either. So, you know, we don't have anything of real good news to talk about today. We'd like to see that the Chinese would say they're coming back for talks would be the next, hopefully, positive thing we can see this week.
Yeah. Do you think that'll happen?
I'm guessing they're going to say no, because I think they're really looking at the idea of pushing this off for negotiations until it's going to be pushing right up against the fall elections.
Yeah, so maybe not until then, or at least after the midterm, one of the two, I would think.
Yeah, I would think that, but I was thinking that Washington would probably want to have some sort of deal cut the week before the elections.
I think Trump will, what will he offer up?
I don't know. That man's a wizard, but he hasn't shared these facts with me.
Let's hope he waves the wand. How about that?
You bet.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All righty. We'll see you Thursday.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In fact, he will see me on Thursday. Wayne, along with Kurt Kimmel and Bill Mayer, will join me for Commodity Week on Thursday afternoon. And, of course, we'll post that up to the website on Thursday evening. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 93% of the corn crop has dented the rolling five-year average, 86%, 54% of the crop has matured, and usually that's 36%, 9% of the crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 6% for corn. The condition of the crop, 47% good, 21% excellent, is the same as the previous week. 53% of the soybean crop is dropping its leaves now. The normal is 36% on the five-year average. 6% of the crop has been harvested. Normally that number is 3%. In the condition of the soybean crop, 49% good, 18% excellent. The previous week it was 1 percentage point better when you combine the two at 50% good and 18% excellent. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending September 16, 2018. Warm, dry weather gave Iowa farmers 6 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included harvesting hay, harvesting seed corn, chopping corn silage, harvesting corn for grain, harvesting soybeans, and seeding cover crops. South Central Iowa topsoil moisture supply is rated 75% adequate to surplus for the second consecutive week. 94% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage or beyond, a week ahead of the five-year average. 53% of the corn crop was mature, just over a week ahead of average. Corn condition rated 73% good to excellent. 83% of the soybean crop was coloring, with 50% dropping leaves, 8 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 72% good to excellent. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 94% complete, a week behind the previous year. Pasture conditions rated 50% good to excellent. Warm and dry conditions helped cattle producers. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois weather was warm and dry last week. Rainfall totals were nearly zero across the state compared to the normal rainfall of 3/4 of an inch for the week. Temperatures range from 2 to 4 degrees above average. Soybean harvest reached 4% complete by Sunday, compared to 1% 1 year ago. 87% of soybeans were turning color, compared to 67% last year and 62% for the 5-year average. 58% of soybean acres were dropping leaves, compared to 28% normally. The condition of the Illinois soybean crop was rated 6% very poor to poor, 17% fair, and 77% good to excellent, down a little from 1 week ago. Corn harvest reached 12% complete, compared to 5% 1 year ago, and also 5% for the 5-year average. 75% of corn acres were rated as mature, compared to 37% last year and 47% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was rated 6% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 76% good to excellent, down slightly from 1 week ago. In other crops, the third cutting of alfalfa hay is now 96% finished. 67% of sorghum acres were mature, and 2% of sorghum acres were harvested. Pasture conditions were rated 13% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 60% good to excellent, which is better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding everyone to be on the lookout for harvest activities, including big equipment on rural roads.
This is Jim Collum with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 16, 2018. Nearly ideal weather last week allowed harvest to kick off for some producers, according to Greg Matley, state statistician, USDA NAS, Indiana Field Office. Warm temperatures with little rainfall was conducive to harvest for those growers with crops ready for the combine. Growers not beginning harvest last week were anticipated to begin soon. Weather was also excellent for hay harvest. The average temperature for the week was 69.6 degrees, 2.4 degrees above normal for the state. The amount of rainfall varied from none to 0.28 inches during the week. The statewide average precipitation was 0.15 inches, and there were 4.9 days available for fieldwork for the week ending September 16. Last week was an excellent week for harvest. Growers continued to harvest hay, processing vegetables, silage, seed corn, and began corn and soybean harvests. There was some reported flooding along the Ohio River. Several hundred acres of crops in Spencer County were underwater. That flooding was due to the remains of Tropical Storm Gordon. USDA wishes all Indiana farmers a safe harvest. This concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 16, 2018. This is Jim Collum reporting.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending September 16, 2018. Warm, windy conditions throughout much of the state aided crop development and allowed for significant harvest progress during the week. There were 6.1 days suitable for field work, and activities included harvesting corn silage, small grains, dryable beans, potatoes, and sugar beets. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 16% short, 77% adequate, and 5% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 7% very short, 15% short, 70% adequate, and 8% surplus. 92% of the corn had reached the dense stage or beyond, that's 4 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn mature was 42%, and that's 8 days ahead of average. Corn for silage harvest was 72% complete, that's 11 days ahead of average, and the overall corn crop condition was rated 77% good to excellent. 91% of the soybean crop was turning color or beyond, that's 8 days ahead of average. 59% of the soybean crop was dropping leaves, and that's 6 days ahead of average. And 7% of the soybean crop was harvested, that's 6 days ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 69% good to excellent. The pasture conditions for this week were rated 50% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the United States. Let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the energy markets. We're joined by Dave Chatterton. He's with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me. Hope you're well.
So let's talk about the tariff situation and maybe get your take of what that means in the broader economy. We have $70, of course, crude oil.
Yeah, it's been an interesting exercise, I guess, in looking at two very different stories or two different tales when we look at the ag complex versus what we found in energy and where ag, you know, soybean prices here are testing 10-year lows. We're looking at corn prices going down and testing the summer lows and, you know, just getting beat up here in general. The oil complex has seen the opposite. So far, China has not embargoed or tariffed, I should say. The crude oil imports that they're taking from the U.S., they're typically a top three customer on that front. Based on where we're going with that and the size of the tariffs, we're getting to the point where they're not going to have a choice, but so far, so good. And we're dealing with some other things. We're dealing with, you know, the U.S.-China tariff situation. We've got the Iranian sanctions that threaten to take a good deal of oil off the market. The tropical season is heated up here. We've got OPEC and the Russians meeting this weekend to talk about supplies. So a lot of things turning in a little bit more of a bullish tone there in that oil complex than what we found in the grains or the ag complex.
What does that mean for the price of diesel fuel? And then we can maybe transition at some point into propane, though it looks like, at least at this time, things drying down really quickly across the whole of the Midwest.
Yeah, definitely. So fundamentally, I mean, the picture has improved quite a bit in what we found in the distillate market or the heating oil market for diesel fuel. Inventories have come up. Our year-on-year deficit overall in the U.S. now is only about 5 million barrels. If you remember when we've talked in past segments that, you know, take that back to June, we were almost 40 million, had almost a 40 million barrel deficit. So that's definitely improved. Our exports are still pretty robust, but with production in the U.S. reaching 11 million barrels a day and refinery runs at very high levels, we've been able to supplement those supplies and get our inventories back where we need them. Unfortunately, we haven't seen that translate as yet into lower prices. You know, as we said, that's mostly a result of the OPEC cutbacks. If you remember going back, OPEC took 1.8 million barrels a day in production off. They agreed in June of this year to increase by 1 million, but the Iranian tariffs threatened to take about 1.2 million off. So we're kind of back where we started and trying to balance that. We've got crude oil prices in the U.S. here pushing that $70 mark, Brent crude oil prices pushing the $80 mark. And so far that hasn't allowed prices to relax. So we're not anxious to go out and book a lot of forward coverage here. Or as far as diesel fuel goes, hopefully we want to keep some working inventories in place, but not necessarily be aggressive. That story is essentially the same on propane. Inventories there remain very good. The risk is to the downside here. Inventories there, particularly in Conway or in the Midwestern region, have not been subject to the export market. The pipeline capacity is being taken up by other products, primarily crude oil, trying to make it out of the country. Leaves us with propane stocks that look very comfortable going into the winter, and prices there have come back and come down a little bit, but again, we see the risk to the downside there and not a big emphasis on grain drying, certainly at this point.
Hey, on the diesel, is this out of context with the seasonals and how it normally would be priced out?
It is to a certain degree. Typically, we'd be looking for this market to ramp up, make a late summer low, ramp up into toward the end of the year, maybe just after the first of the year, and then come back down. And so, because of what's going, the situation with OPEC and the Iranian sanctions kind of hitting it at the same point, we've pushed that seasonal, I think, to the side just a little bit here, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking time with us today.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's a beautiful day here, Don. How about where you are? And then you can go right into what we can expect across the Corn Belt as farmers get in to harvest a bit.
Yeah, well, I tell you, we are going to see a lot of weather evolving late this weekend and next week. For this week ahead, generally speaking, continuation of some summertime temperatures and conditions. You mentioned it's very nice, and it will stay very nice here for a couple more days. We will see some showers and thunderstorms move across the Dakotas, the Northern Plains states, as we get on into Thursday night and Friday. I think that will trigger some showers and thunderstorms as well in the northern and western Corn Belt. It's a fairly quick-moving system. Then we're going to see some drier, warmer weather return for the weekend. Towards the middle to the end of next week, we're starting to see some signs of the first real significant push of colder air into the nation's midsection, especially around and after next Wednesday.
And then once you get there, what happens?
Well, we're going to see wet weather come back in, especially across some of the wet areas of the northern plains. But I also expect many areas of the central and western Corn Belt are going to get wet as well. I do think this first event is going to make things wet, but mainly affecting the northwestern areas. I do see the potential for some harvest delays with the colder, wet weather during the second half of next week. Now, that's pretty far out, but we're certainly seeing the signs that that could come together. There's a lot of cold air, a lot of unsettled weather that's been locked up in northwest Canada for the last couple of weeks, and that's going to finally get a chance to move south and affect our weather here in the U.S.
Is it the beginnings of a pattern shift that includes more rainfall? The temperatures being cold, farmers won't mind so much, but the rainfall could be detrimental to the harvest season, or is it just allowing that to run out of that locked-up area and through the Midwest, and then we'll be back to something cooler?
I think there's a good chance that we're going to get a little bit of both. We're going to get some of the colder weather out. I don't expect anything in the Corn Belt or Midwest to be looking at freezing temperatures or anything else like that, but I do think some wet weather is coming with this shot of colder weather that could cause some harvest delays.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.